Shall we get started? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Merciful Father in heaven, we humbly come before your throne with gratitude on our hearts for the love you have demonstrated and given to us, your continual forgiveness of our sins, dear Father, all the many multitude of blessings you pour upon us daily, the rain to replenish this land, dear Father. We say thank you. Thank you for this time that we can gather together and open up your word. Bless this time in your precious son's name. Amen. As you already probably know, Harold isn't sick. He's very sick. At least he's a little bit better today than he was yesterday. But he certainly didn't sound good yesterday. So he asked me this morning if I would mind doing something this evening. And I said yes. So we're going to look into the book of Joshua. A question I have to ask anybody here. Have you ever thought that your consequences may have lasting results? Have you ever thought what you may think about doing, how it could affect everybody? Have you ever thought maybe something I do behind closed doors might affect somebody? How about not just you? How about your parents? How about your church? How about your city? How about your state? How about your whole country? One person's actions can change it. Would you like to really go to bed at night thinking what I did today has hurt so many, many people? Sharon and I had the blessing of working in a restoration center. These young men were there instead of going to jail. And one of the first questions I'd ask them when they come in, I say, why do you hate your mother so much? Oh, no, I love my mother. I said, no, you don't. You're a filthy liar. I said, why would you purposely hurt somebody you love? Boy, their mouth would go shut. I said, see, your actions doing what you did has hurt your mother tremendously. How about your children? I said, do you think your children want to know, go to school? My dad's a felon. I said, how about your wife going to work? Everybody whispering, locked up. It affects everybody, doesn't it? What we're going to do is look in the book of Joshua and go in more detail of it. And we're going to basically concentrate on the seventh chapter. But to give you a little background, we're going to start off and I'll give an overview of the sixth chapter. And everybody knows this chapter very well. It's a time of when the Israelites crossed over the Jordan River and came upon Jericho. We must keep in mind that the Israelites, when they left Egypt, according to God's holy word, they only had 600,000 men. But they only listed the men. If you think they were married and had 3-4 children, you're talking about the Israelites somewhere between 2 and 3 million people. Kind of an alarming group of people coming through the desert, wouldn't you think? And they crossed over the Jordan River, and the first thing they saw was their first fortified city, Jericho. And once again, the Israelites begin to murmur. Oh, Joshua, what are we going to do with this city? How are we going to handle this? This is our first obstacle. They have been belly aching for 40 years. No water, no this, no this. You can only imagine how sick a belly aching Joshua and Moses were. They came up there, and what plan did they have? We know what the story is. Go around the city one time, twice the next day. But each time they went around the city, they carried the ark in front of them. In other words, God's presence was there. They were following God's instruction, not theirs. And what happened at the seventh time? The walls collapsed, didn't they? And you know what's so remarkable about it, which I think is, and it's just such a small detail, the Bible says that the walls collapsed outside. And you think, well, what's the difference? Well, if you attack the city, the walls come inside. Almost like the Lord was there and he pushed it out, didn't it? He brought the people to strict instructions. This city is yours to conquer, but I am going to ban you from collecting any gold or any silver out of Jericho because that will go into the temple's treasury. A simple. Get rid of the rest, but those two items. Okay. Then we start in chapter 7. But the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to things under the ban. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah. Now, why in the world do they keep saying son of? It's very simple. And they never had last names. And how an individual or family was known was by their father. This individual, Achan, they not only gave his father, his grandfather, and great-grandfather. And what tribe was he from? Judah. Who else was from the tribe of Judah? There you go. That's right. From the tribe of Judah took some of the things under the ban. Therefore, the anger of the Lord burned against the sons of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai in Bethaven, east of Bethel, and said to them, go up and spy out the land. So the men went up and spied out Ai. They returned to Joshua and said to them, do not let all the people go up. Only about 2,000 or 3,000 men need to go up. Pretty confident, aren't they? Pretty confident. We just completely annihilated a walled city. And now we have to go to Ai, small little farming community of 12,000 people. Nah, we don't worry, Lord, we got this covered, don't you? You know, must imagine thinking that. Yeah, Joshua, just send a couple of us over there. You know, piece of cake. We'll be home by lunch type of attitude. Do not let all the people go up. Only about 2,000 or 3,000 men need to go up. Do not make all the people toil up there, for they are few. So about 3,000 men from the people went up there. But they fled from the men of Ai. The men of Ai struck down about 36 of their men, pursued them from the gate as far as Shebrim, and struck them down on the descent, so the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Does that kind of remind you of us when we think we're pretty arrogant and we can handle something and the bottom is pulled from underneath us? What do? We then get on our knees real quick, don't we? Oh, Lord. Man, did I mess this up. How could just 3,000 men affect 2 million people? Wait till we get a little bit further. So what did Joshua do? Then Joshua tore his clothes, fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. Both he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, why did you ever bring this people over the Jordan only to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we'd been willing to dwell beyond the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say? Since Israel has turned their back before their enemies, for the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name? He got on his knees and petitioned the Lord, didn't he? But the one thing he failed to do is say, Lord, we are wrong. What do we do when we mess up? How often do we go before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive my sins. I have messed up. You didn't. Even the pride of Joshua back then wanted to blame everything except pointing the finger at themselves. How is your name going to be carried on? We're supposed to be your people. And what did you didn't even go with us? You know what it says in Proverbs? Proverbs tells us that a man that does not keep my commands, even your prayers are detestable. And you just think about that. How many times do we go to the Lord and petition Him for something, and we're not open with the Lord? We have not asked for forgiveness from our sins, have we? Oh, I'm going to go out and do this. I'm going to go and work late. I'm not going to punch in late. I'm just going to walk in. I'll just shoot. What'd you do? You stole from your boss. And now you petition the Lord and say, help me with this problem? No. No, on your knees first, child. I was doing a little figuring today, which hard for me to do without a kid. But I thought most of us, two, maybe two or three non-coincidental sins a day. We might have an evil thought. We might say a word. Well, nobody heard me. I can say it. You mumble it. You may see something go by and you covet it. You may bellyache. Me, bellyache about that. Yeah, Sharon even agrees with that. If we only did three a day, and if you live to be 50 years old, that's 52,750 sins you laid before the Lord without asking for forgiveness. 52,000. You walk before any judge in this world and say, I committed 52,000 felonies. Will you forgive me? You know what the answer will be. Mm-mm. No. And I have to multiply that because I'm much older than 50. About how easy it is every single day. And we have to be so mindful that we must be on our knees. Not only when the times are tough, but when times are good. Not when we're in the valleys, but we're in the mountains. And that's when it's so hard, because we're on top of the mountain. We're pretty good, aren't we? We got this world just where we need it, don't we? Yes, we do. So the Lord said to Joshua, rise up. Why is it that you have fallen on your face? Israel has sinned, and they also have transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. Suddenly Joshua is pretty quiet, isn't he? When the Lord begins to reprimand them, which I commanded, and they have even taken some of the things under the ban, and have both stolen and deceived. Moreover, they have also put them among their own things. Have we ever done something that we thought we got away with? Have we ever thought just a little bit? I'm just going to do that. Nobody will know. Suddenly the world collapses. I was in law enforcement for many years. And one of the things we heard so often is prostitution is a victimless crime. What a blatant lie. You think of the man that's doing it has hurt his family, his wife, his children, his parents. Think of the lady. She hurt the wife, the children, the family. Suddenly you've got dozens upon dozens of people hurt forever by a victimless crime. And yet, oh, we're just going to do it. Nobody will know the difference. Except he does. Except he does. And it is sure tough to go before him, doesn't it? Look at Joshua. The Lord starts off and tells him, first of all, why are you acting that way? I didn't drop the ball. You did. I didn't let you go off. You did. You thought you were pretty tough. You found out you weren't. Therefore, the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies, and I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban from your midst. Very simple terms, the Lord said, Israel, take what is wrong and make it. I'm not going with you anymore. The so-called holy land, the so-called land of milk and honey with everything you can think of, I won't let you have unless you make things right. People so often think church discipline. Oh, man, what is church discipline? Church discipline is like any other type of discipline in the world. It's to make something wrong and make it right. If you have to take a brother or sister and bring them back into the fellowship and they repent, let us get our knees and say, hallelujah, Lord, thank you. But you must take a firm stand and say, if not, the consequences are yours. And we're not going to be part. But if you allow somebody to continue to do something, then that responsibility is on you. I'd like to give a little story. I think sometimes it helps illustrate the point. While working at the restoration place, we had very strict rules. The men that were there instead of going to jail, state prison. Our program was 14 months. Very strict. We had certain things, yes and no. One thing was off limits was cell telephones. I did my usual checks of their belongings and I found one hidden down in his register. He tied it into his shoestring and lowered it down in the register. I didn't know the old man ain't going to find it. Well, the old man found it. So what did I do? Called the sheriff department. And what a startling fact it is for these young men to see that sheriff deputy pulled up, take that man out of class, put handcuffs on him. 6 o'clock in the morning. At the conclusion of the Bible study, one guy stood up and says, I'm mad at you, to me. He says, you took him away from his family. You sent them to prison. How dare you do that? You say you're a friend of ours. And all the people in the room. The old man. There's about 25 in the room. I tried to bite my tongue and I ended up biting it pretty hard and he finally got done. I said to him, young man, you claim that you're a friend of his. Yeah, good brother. I said, okay, that's good because we all need friends. I said, but if you came to me and said, Mr. Cal, he had a phone, what would I do? I'd punish him. Take away some of his favors. But you didn't, because you didn't want to be a rat. I said, so in turn, he's now in prison. So what do you think? You're not much of a friend, are you? You threw him in jail because you wanted to be his friend. I said, you took Dad away from his two kids. You took Dad away from his wife because you wanted to cover for him. I said, now who's friend of who? Whole group hung his head. You could see it kind of hit home. Has that ever happened to us? We try to cover for somebody. The consequences are so great that they have to knock on the door and take the young man out of class. Or, even worse, because of actions by us. And it makes you think. We ought to think a little bit before we act, don't you think? Rise up. Consecrate the people and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow for yourselves. For thus the Lord of God Israel has said. What does he mean by consecrate? What does he mean by that? Make things right. Get on your knees. Come before the Lord as hard as it is. And you know that's one of the hardest things for us to do? It is for me. To come before the Lord and talk to Him one-on-one, and it's easy asking for things, isn't it? But it sure is hard to say, God, forgive, and you list what you did wrong. Suddenly you're not very big anymore. You humbled yourself before the Lord. I believe that's what the Bible says. Humility comes before the fall. There are things under the ban in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you remove the things under the ban from your midst. In the morning, then you shall come near by your tribes, and it shall be that the tribes which the Lord takes by lot shall come near by families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come near by household. You think those people had a good day thinking what's going to happen in the morning? You think of Achan? Maybe somebody did see me. No, I didn't. I hid it all. What, Lord? You're going to have all 2 million people come before you? I'm suddenly not doing it by myself anymore, am I? Now my mess up is going to affect an awful lot of people. Make myself right, to make myself good, to make myself feel good, to take something which I know is wrong. What a wonderful day they had, don't you think? And then what the Lord said, I'm going to do it by lot. He's going to stretch out the misery. Not just family after family after family comes before. Lord, take by lot, shall by families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come near the household. And the household which the Lord takes shall come near man by man. Suddenly you stand in front of 2 million people all by yourself, you don't feel very strong anymore, do you? He has a way of really bringing us down. It shall be that the one who takes with the things under the ban shall be burned with fire, and he and all that belongs to him, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has committed a disgraceful thing. Achan, suddenly, four little simple things. He saw. He coveted. He took. He deceived. Four things that the Lord tells us, every one of us. What happens with wandering eyes? If your eyes cause you to sin, pluck them out. If your hand causes it, cut it off. Then what? He coveted. Thou shalt not covet. Then he stole. Thou shalt not. Then he lied. No, I didn't take it. No. So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought the tribes near Israel, nearby tribes, and the tribes Judah was taken. He brought the family of Judah near and took the families of the Zebulites, and he brought the family of the Zebulites near, man by man. And Zebda was taken. Who was Zebda? One of Achan's dads, or family. He brought his household near, man by man, and Achan, son of Carma, son of Zebdi, son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah was taken. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I implore you, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give praises to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." It's all on the table now, isn't it? No more excuses from him. And now we've really come to this part of the story that's really gut-wrenching. So Achan answered, "Joshua, truly I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and this is what I did." Sounded kind of boastful, didn't it? Maybe I can just kind of confess and then walk away scot-free, not worrying anymore. "When I saw among the spoils a beautiful mantle from Sinar." What is a mantle? It's a beautiful robe usually used by dignitaries. Not the common man, but a very exclusive, fancy piece of clothing. "And when I saw among the spoils a beautiful mantle, and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold, 50 shekels in weight. Then I coveted them, took them, and behold, they are concealed in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath it." Even to the last small part, he was trying to hide it. Neighbors probably didn't even see him do it. But you think, if you come back from a war, how can you walk around with a mantle and shekels and bars of gold without somebody seeing it? I think an awful lot of his neighbors saw it. I think maybe his wife may even married. "Did you see what ache I got?" And what did the neighbors do? Just like this young man did. I think if the neighbors came before, said, "Joshua, Achan did this," I think he'd have been severely disciplined, but not to the point that's going to happen to him. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and behold, it was concealed in the tent with the silver underneath. They took them from inside the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the sons of Israel. They poured them out before the Lord. The silver, the mantle, the bars of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tents, and all that belonged to him, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, "This day, and all the Israel stoned them with stones, and they burnt them with fire." How would you like to be the father and mother stoning your child? Could you? I can't. I couldn't even think of it. Not only his family, it's your turn to bring justice onto them. You are to take their lives, and then you're to burn them. The sins of one man affected 2 million people. You think a couple months before when Achan picked that stuff up, hid it underneath his cloak, he thought what was going to happen? If you thought when you did something wrong what the consequences are going to be, do you think that this young man that hid his telephone thought that old man will never find it? Why did I look in there? I don't know why I looked in there. But somebody told me to look. Affected everybody because of the pride and arrogance. How closely that can happen to a church. If something that goes on with one of the members of the church and the church themselves close their eyes to it, he's a good fellow. He gives an awful lot. Oh yeah, you can't do nothing with him. And then you wonder why the church never flourishes. No, I'm not going to go before you anymore. You violated. You sinned against the Lord Most High. And you didn't want to do anything because you didn't want to hurt somebody's feelings. It didn't go away, did it? And all Israel stoned them with stones, and they burnt them with fire. After they had stoned them with stones, they raised over him a great heap of stones that stands to this day. And the Lord turned from his fierceness of anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor, which means trouble. It tells us also in Proverbs, one of my favorite books in the Bible, or chapters, books in the Bible is Proverbs. And it says, more valuable to a man is his name more than silver and gold. I wonder what Achan thought, being the son of Tamar, Zebedah, and Zerah. They had to live that the rest of their lives. Look what your son's done to us. Look. Imagine the punishment and the sorrow that family had to bear for the rest of their lives. All because they did not want to follow our Lord's command. A simple command of don't take anything. All the other times they conquered things, take all the booty you want. Take all the things you want. But this one time he said no. For why? Do you think it mattered to the Lord's temple, treasury that it didn't have? No. Wanted to see if they would listen and obey. And didn't. I have another story before we close. This story is always kind of dear to me and it kind of hurts me. I was church administrator for a church in Dallas, Texas. Small church. It only had 3,500 members in church on Sunday. It only had $3 million operating budget. Five pastors. 125 employees. Small little church, right? Youth director. Young man with two beautiful kids and a precious wife. I had lunch with him so often. Great friend. He took the kids out on a youth trip. Came back. He left for the weekend. I had to go into his office and went in there. What did I see laying right out in the public? Pornographic magazine of men with little children. What could I do? I shut it. I went and got another staff member. We went and saw it. I wanted to be there with somebody else to witness to it. We went and got his responsible pastor. We brought him in. He said, start looking. We went through his whole office, and in the knapsack that he just came back from spending a week with kids was filled with filth. We had to go to the senior pastor's house. The following day, I was sitting in my office, and they called him and his wife. And I'll never forget looking out the window and see that husband and wife, two little children, walking in the office. They fired him. I said, what else are we going to do to him? Well, we don't want to hurt him anymore. He's already hurt. We'll just terminate him. I said, you don't think we ought to notify somebody on his record so this never happens again? No, we'll just let it go. Couldn't do anything about it. 5 years later, Amarillo, Texas, I was watching the news. I said, Sharon, look at this. She came in. There was that youth director. Was hired by another church in Amarillo and was charged for sexually molesting his children. He's now in prison. Do you think that church should have done something? I sure do. Because those little kids that he molested are going to carry that for the rest of their lives. His wife, precious, quiet little lady, carries that. My husband's a pervert. The little kid's got to grow up without dad because he's a pervert. You don't think your actions hurt? It hurt that church. It hurt the next church. And it hurt hundreds upon hundreds of children and families thereafter. Because we don't want to take a stand for the Lord. Just think what would happen if that first church took a stand. He may have got probation. I don't think he would have ever went to another church and molested children. That's a true story, and I know the man well. So I know how dear it is and how important it is to come before the Lord with something like that. Think about Achan, his family. Here we are, several thousand years later, still using him as an example. Our actions have consequences. We may hide it from our next door neighbor, but my dear family, we don't hide it from Him. When the Lord calls us home, we don't have to stand before our next door neighbor. We got to stand before Him. So wonderful over it all. You confess it, and He'll forgive. What an awesome God. Shall we pray? Holy Father in heaven, man of many thousand years ago that we can use as a prime example today to see it happening every single day, dear Father. Be that we may have the courage to stand for what is right, realizing that hurt feelings for a short time keep somebody from going to hell. Let us be bold, dear Father. Let us hold dear to your word. Let us remember a real friend takes care of a friend. In your precious Son's name.